returning to Ephesians chapter 4 again. Ephesians chapter 4. We're looking at verses 11 and 12. I'd like to start at verse 7, though, and read to verse 16 so we have the whole passage in front of us. We're just taking a couple of verses in the middle out here. And it's important that we have already seen in the book of Ephesians the importance of keeping unity, the unity that we have in the Spirit in verses 1 to 3. We've seen the basis of unity in verses 4 to 6. We can't have unity on any other grounds than what's given to us in those seven statements about oneness in verses 4 to 6. And then we've seen that the exalted Lord Jesus Christ gives us various gifts in verses 7 to 10. And we'll read those verses again. But now we have to see the role of particular gifts that are given to us in the body of Christ, because this is the means that the risen Christ uses to bring us into the fullness of maturity. So this is the word of God. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The precious word of the living and the true God. So we're looking at verses 11 to 12, and it's talking about those who were made to be the means by which the Lord Jesus Christ builds his church. They're gifts, but they're actually people. And they're given for a particular purpose that's given to us in verse 12. So the people are given in verse 11, and the purpose is given in verse 12. And that's important for us, because we need to recognize that this is actually a passage that a lot of people in the history of the church and a lot more recently have taken in a different direction. Because they read in verse 12 the prepositions that say for, 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 and they read them as unto equipping the people of God for service. And that is something that the New Testament talks about. It talks about that in Romans 12. It talks about that in 1 Corinthians 12. It talks about the way that the people of God serve in the body of Christ. We must emphasize that. It's a New Testament emphasis. It is something that the Bible holds up and tells us is incredibly important and valuable in the body of Christ. That we would be those who are built up and strengthened as the body of Christ according to the gifts that are given to us by means of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to read to you a few verses from Romans 12 so that you remember what it says. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And on it goes. Talking about the importance of what we have been given as the body of Christ. But in the Word of God, the way in which things are divided up, the way in which the gifts play out are word gifts and deed gifts. And in this passage, we have in particular word gifts. Gifts that are given to us for the means of growing through the Word of God. Through the means of growing by means of the Word that's given through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to recognize this because the Bible, in verse 11, uses the word some. And every time we hear the word some, we might think, what about the others? Some apostles. What about the others? Well, what is an apostle? What is an apostle? It's someone who is an eyewitness of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It is someone who was given at a very specific time in the history of redemption. It was supposed to be someone who was with Jesus from the baptism of John up until the time that he ascended. But Paul was given the privilege of seeing the risen Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He was Saul, and then he became Paul because he saw the risen Christ. He saw Christ risen from the dead. That's an important part of the gospel, that we might have apostles, people who are eyewitnesses of the risen Christ. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 20, that the church is built. The church is built on this foundation, the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We're told that the church itself is built upon eyewitnesses of the risen Christ and those who were given the prophetic word, revelation from God. Primarily the Old Testament prophets, even though there are some references in the New Testament to certain prophetic gifts, we have the scriptures. We have that which is given by revelation of God. And Jesus Christ prays, sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. We need the truth in order for us to grow. And so we need those who are given word gifts, particularly the apostles and prophets, that we might be the church itself. Because this is the means by which Jesus Christ is communicated. That's an amazing thing. Calvin points out that Jesus is in heaven. And we don't physically hear his voice. So how do we hear the word of God? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We hear the word of God through those human instruments that Christ uses to bring us the word of God. And that is very important. That is very important for us because we need to recognize that we cannot separate ourselves from the foundation. We can't separate ourselves from the doctrine that's given through the apostles. These are the means, people through whom the New Testament came, through the revelation, through whom the revelation of Christ came, that we rest upon, the hope of our salvation, the means by which we grow. And so the fact that God in his mercy has given the Lord Jesus Christ, and that through Jesus Christ come gifts, and they are not given in equal proportion, shouldn't trouble us unless we doubt the wisdom of God. And what we have in the providence of God are gifts that were given to the apostles and prophets for a temporary period of time. The prophetic word coming through the prophets, the apostles, eyewitnesses of the risen Christ, the means by which the gospels communicate. And it is through this temporary period of time that the foundation of the church was built. But you see, the work of Jesus Christ does not stop at the foundation. It does not stop as the foundation is built. He actually is building the church into what we've already seen in Ephesians 2, a holy temple. It's growing. It's a growing group of people who are joined to Jesus Christ. That's who the church is. And so we have the opportunity to see how the continuing work of Jesus Christ is being displayed, that we might be, as it says in verse 12, perfected, that we might be brought to maturity, that we might see the work of the ministry done, that we might see the edifying of the body of Christ. That's important for us. The word work there in verse 12 is a word that is in some places translated doing diaconal work. It's a word that has to do with serving. And so some people say, well, you know, there's a preposition that's different, and we go to in the direction of serving. It's the serving of people in the body of Christ, which is clearly very important. But it's the ministry of the word that is in view in these verses. It's the ministry of the word that's given to us through the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and teachers. And we need to see that that is God's grace to us. That is part of the means that God is using to cause us to be built up in Christ. They are actually gifts that come to us from Christ. And so the work of the ministry in view is the work of the ministry of the word. Word gifts, deed gifts. It's important that we see that the ministry of the word is part of the ministry of Christ, how the Lord Jesus Christ causes us to be built up and strengthened. And so we have apostles, we have prophets that are given to us for a period of time in the history of redemption. They're given to us for the sake of our growth. It benefits us. It's part of, as Calvin puts it, relying upon God's wise care. And he points out the danger of envying and looking at those particular gifts in themselves. Because what we are looking for is Jesus Christ. We're looking for Jesus Christ to build us up and to strengthen us. And we need the apostles. The church cannot continue. The pastors and teachers have nothing to teach if they don't have the doctrine that has come through the apostles. The doctrine of the eyewitnesses of the risen Christ. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is central to the gospel message. We need to know that this is given by revelation of God. And we need to believe it in order to be saved. It's not something that we can simply think about on our own. I read a story this week about a family pet that was lost inside the family house. And you're going to be surprised when you learn how long the pet was lost. They had some electrical work that was being done in the house, and they lost track of their tortoise. They didn't know where the tortoise was, and they looked for the tortoise for a while. And then in the passage of time, a family member died, so they went up to the attic, and they found the tortoise alive in the attic after 30 years. 30 years alone in that attic. They think that the tortoise survived on termite larvae and got some liquid from the termite larva. That is not very good food to survive on for 30 years. And yet sometimes what we do in the body of Christ is we separate ourselves from the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ is building his church. We separate ourselves from the way in which the church is being built, and we lose sight of the fact that this is for our good. This is for our benefit. Now, that tortoise is eating a lot better these days, drinking more water than that tortoise had for 30 years. And it's an amazing thing. Tortoises can usually survive for like 6 weeks to a few years without certain food. But 30 years, it's an amazing thing. It's the providence of God. But the idea that we can somehow separate ourselves from the ministry of the word, that we can separate ourselves from that which God has provided for our good, is foolishness. If the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, it's built on that foundation so that we might see Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, and be built and strengthened in him. Ephesians 2 talks about growing to be a holy temple in the Lord. And so we need this. There's this language of evangelists. It's debated language. Should we have an evangelist office today? Calvin points out that people are traveling when they are apostles. They're traveling when they're evangelists. They're often ministering to those who are outside the church. In the passage we're about to read tonight, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 to do the work of an evangelist, to fulfill his ministry. We need to reach those who are outside. We need to have the word of God communicated to them. They need to hear the gospel. But also, we need to hear the gospel. We are not like the tortoise who can somehow survive on termite larvae for 30 years. We need the precious word of God in order to grow. We need the gospel in order to grow. We need to grow in the knowledge of God's grace. And so that's why, even though there are some of these offices that have gone away in the history of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ continues to work. The church has been built. The foundation has been laid. The chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. The canon of Scripture has been completed. We have the apostolic revelation. We have that which we access in order to understand the Word of God. And now what we need are pastors and teachers. It's lumped together in this verse because we're talking about word gifts and we're talking about the way in which people communicate the Word of God. There's a slightly different emphasis. Teachers teach, pastors also teach, but they do shepherding work, or at least they ought to. And they ought to visit people and be in people's homes, and they ought to be those who shepherd and guide the people of God. Because this is what we need. We need this in order for us to grow. And this is a gift of the risen Christ. Look at the purpose for which it's given. It's given for three purposes: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, its ministry of the word, and for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. That's the purpose for which we are given these gifts. And so the idea that we could separate ourselves from the ongoing ministry of the word in the local church is foolish pride. And it is wrong for us to do so, because this is the means by which we hear Jesus Christ. And it's not about the person. The person standing up here in this old green shirt is interchangeable. It's pastors, plural. It's teachers, plural, given to us. It's the ministry of the word that we need. It's the ministry of the word through which Jesus Christ speaks to us. That's what we need in order to grow. It's for our perfecting. It's so that we might reach the fullness of maturity in the body of Christ. That we might, as it says, as we go on in this passage, not be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. They're very clever in the way that they put things. Cunning craftiness. That sounds like what I've heard in the Westminster Confession. But it's not. It's something slightly different. And you have to know the difference. And the only way you know the difference is to be continually exposed to the ministry of Jesus Christ through his servants, who are gifts that he gives, so that you might hear his voice. He could come down and physically speak, but he's chosen this means. God in his wisdom has chosen this means. And the people who communicate the Word of God are under the Word of God. That's an amazing thing that we find as we look at the Bible. The Apostle Paul is given this high privilege of being an apostle, an eyewitness of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And what does he say about himself and the other apostles? How does he describe himself? He talks about being servants. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. It's all about serving. Whatever gifts you've been given in the body of Christ, and they're to serve. Ultimately for the glory of God. Ultimately for the honor of Jesus Christ. Ultimately so that Christ might be seen and shown. If you've been given a gift of mercy and you do it with cheerfulness, Christ is shown in that. If you have been given a gift of the ministry of the word and you do it diligently, you are serving. You're not serving in order to present yourself. You're serving in order to present Jesus Christ. And that's what we need. That's what we need in the body of Christ. And so we're told that we are being perfected in this way. We're told that this is the work of the ministry. It is the work of those who serve in the word. And it's for the building up, the edifying of the body. Last week I was talking about chocolate and soap. This week we're talking about tortoises. But you know that these are simply ways to try to get you to think about the same things that you have heard and know. Those of you that have experienced the benefit of the gift of mercy done with cheerfulness, know how precious it is. How much you have seen Jesus through that. How much you have seen and encountered the presence of the one who binds us together and makes us one. When you serve using the gift that God gives you, you are serving in a way that is designed to show Jesus Christ, to build up and strengthen the body of but that also requires us to recognize that there are certain ways in which the Lord Jesus Christ works through the ministry of the word in order to build up and strengthen us as well. Ultimately, we need to know the things that are told to us in verses 4 to 6. We need to know what it means that there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And because Jeremiah 17 says that our heart is desperately wicked, we don't naturally gravitate towards that knowledge. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. We need the presence of the risen Christ. And we need the instruments that Christ gives. As imperfect as they are. I mean, it's not hard for you to look up here and see something that's imperfect. I remember a woman who complained to the wife of a pastor because every time he leaned over, she could see his bald head, and it distracted her in worship. And the wife said to him, or to her, "Don't look at it." Which was a very good answer. But the point is, there are things that distract us. But anything that distracts us is to take second place to the ministry of the word of Jesus Christ. Even the imperfections of the human instrument. Listen for Jesus. Hear him. And grow. It is designed for your perfecting. It is designed for the work of the ministry. It is designed for the building up of the body of Christ. And isn't that amazing? The same God who can keep a tortoise alive for 30 years with termite larvae can use a weak human instrument to speak if it's in conformity to the Word of God, because the Word of God is not bound.